and that lovely children's story. Thank you. I'd actually planned some people to be here and doing portraits, but it didn't work out. And I hadn't planned on this, and so this was perfect. This was perfect. And thank you, Ronald, for your prayer this morning. And I'm going to pray one more time. Dear Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the fact that you came down to this earth and not only gave us your word in written form, but you gave your life here in this earth for us to see how you want each of us to live. And you died on the cross for us, and you painted that portrait for us and how you want us to be here and how you want us to act. And we thank you for that. And as we read your word, as we look at some of the things you said, may that inspire us to live like you. In thy name we pray. Amen. Images, paintings. Does anybody here like paintings? Yes? Yes, I can see one. I love paintings. I love portraits. In fact, when Melanie first came here, she took art lessons. She actually has the gift of art. I do not have the gift of art. I love paintings, but I can't draw. In fact, I was the last person when I was in elementary school to be able to graduate from a pencil to a pen. And unfortunately, it runs in the Wickswat family. I think all of my dad's grandkids have terrible handwriting. But I appreciate beautiful images, beautiful paintings. In fact, when Melanie was taking art lessons just up the hill here, the lady, I saw a painting in her art room, and it was a powerful painting. And I looked at it. This was her teacher's painting, and she had a whole studio of paintings. And I looked at it, and I could just see a lot of pain in that piece. And I asked her, is that you? And she said, yes. And I said, you look like you're not happy there. And she says, I wasn't. And I said, well, did it have something to do with your husband? And she said, yes. And she looked down. But you could just see so much in that painting. So images, life is full of them. Our memories tend to be surrounded around images. They say smell is probably one of the things that we remember the best. But for me, it's probably images. My son Joshua and Chanel were just here on Victoria Island this last week, one of my favorite places in Vancouver Island. And they were staying in a hotel there. This was their honeymoon a year later, you could say, because they got married last year without any family, just in front of a judge. And this has been a kind of a strange year, but they were just there in Victoria, and I love Victoria, and I've walked along the water there, right leading up to their hotel. And I can remember Melanie sitting on a bench, a green bench. I can even remember the color. A green bench as I came up from the Pacific Ocean, walking to where she was sitting on that green bench. And whatever, if I give you some sort of place of the world that you've been, you will remember images from that place, won't you? Our imaginations are powerful. Well, let me give you a few images that I've seen in the last few months. I was taking my walk one morning, and I'm going to start with a different story. I was driving to the Bank of Beirut, to Sinafil, going through Sinafil, and then to Hazmia. I was going to stop there at the bank, and as I was coming up the hill, some of you know where that is, I saw a long, long line of cars, and I had no idea what they were there for. This was a couple months ago. What were they there for? Gas, fuel. And as I drove by, I could see the gas attendant. And I could see a guy get out of his car and shout and scream at a guy right at the gas pump. And I don't know what it was about. And the gas attendant tried to get in between them and tried to settle them down. My guess is the gas attendant let somebody in who had some wasta, right? And he let them in. And the other guy back there got angry. It wasn't a good image, was it? It made me feel very sad, and I actually prayed for this country at that moment. Then, a couple days later, it was right about the time that schools were opening again. School buses were running. You remember that? Just a couple months ago. And I saw the school bus coming up the hill, and I saw mothers standing there with their children. And I saw this one mother with two boys, a little boy and a little boy and a big boy. And as the bus came by, the older boy went into the bus, and there was a lady sitting at the front of the bus, and I thought, isn't that nice? They have a lady designated, not the bus driver, to help each child go back to his seat and take care of him. And I thought, that is nice, a beautiful picture. Then as the boy sat down, he looked out the window to his mother. And you could see the mother was a little bit, you know, she, it was an emotional moment. You could see the emotion on her face. And as the bus drove away, she put her hand on her heart, and then she blew kisses at him. A very beautiful picture of the country starting up again after COVID had shut it down for a long time. So if you were going to paint a portrait, what would that first image be? Would that be a beautiful portrait? No, it wasn't a beautiful portrait at all. But that second image of the mother, that was a beautiful picture of this country, wasn't it? Well, I had another incident that happened. Let me give you another image. I was buying groceries, and I was in Le Chicartier. Did I say that right? I blew it, didn't I? Consuela, how do I say it? There we go. And I was there, and I was going to pay for my groceries. And all of a sudden, I gave her my debit card, and the debit card didn't work. It was very embarrassing. You know, you're standing in line, and you have all those people behind you, and your debit card does not work. And so I gave her all of my Lebanese LBP, and it wasn't enough. I was, here's the treasure, short of money. Not a good picture, is it? I was 3,000 LBP short. And so I pulled out, I did have some US left in my wallet. I had a $5 bill, so I gave her the $5 bill. And the fellow behind me said, no, no, no. And he told the lady to give me that $5 bill back. And then out of his wallet, he gave her 3,000 LBP. I don't know who that guy was, but he was painting a portrait of Jesus, wasn't he? He was being kind. He was being loving, wasn't he? You know, you all know who Solomon was. And when he started out his life, it went pretty well. God asked him what he wanted as a gift. Didn't ask for riches. Didn't ask for power. He asked for wisdom. Good choice. God was impressed. And he gave him everything else along with it. And he started painting the portrait of God. He started painting the portrait that he wanted, that God wanted the world to see. And Queen of Sheba and others came to see King Solomon because they'd heard these amazing things about him and his kingdom. And so she came to the kingdom. And here she says in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 8, she says this, "How happy your people must be. What a privilege for your officials to stand here day after day listening to your wisdom." Okay, she starts out saying he's amazing. But then she goes on, she says, "Praise the Lord your God, who delights in you and has placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king so you can rule with justice and righteousness." So who does she give the glory to? To God, right? And that's what we are to do. We are supposed to paint this world with love so that people will see God, a better picture of who God is. But in Deuteronomy 17, verse 16, it says this, and God gives counsel to kings. And he says this, "The king must not build up a large stable of horses for himself or send his people to Egypt to buy horses." At that time, the best horses in the world were in Egypt. And I know we've got a few Egyptians here, so I don't hear any amen. Amen, there we go. I love horses. And that's where the best horses were. But he said, the king must not take many wives for himself because they will turn his heart away from the Lord. He must not accumulate large amounts of wealth and silver and gold for himself. And then it gives him some instructions. It says, when he sits on the throne as king, he must copy for himself this body of instruction on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. So what is he talking about? What instruction is he talking about? Yes, that's right. He's talking about the books of Moses, right? The Torah. And then he goes even further. He says, this regular reading will prevent him from becoming proud and acting as if he is above his fellow citizens. It'll also prevent him from turning away from the smallest commands in the smallest way. Turn away from these commands in the smallest way. And it will ensure that he and his descendants will reign for many generations. What happened? Well, Solomon married foreign heathen women, lots of them, didn't he? And then he started worshiping idols. Didn't go so well, did it? And then he started taxing the people harshly, high taxes to pay for all of his visionary plans for his big, beautiful palace and for all those amazing things that he was going to buy. What were some of those amazing things? He also stopped trusting in God, and he started thinking that he was all of that, as they say. He forgot where all of that came from. And he lost his spirit of self-sacrifice. And then he bought horses from Egypt. You know how many horses from Egypt he bought? You don't know, Yunnan? You should know. Horses from Egypt, 12,000 horses from Egypt. 1,400 chariots. Exactly what God told him not to do, right? And then the temple he had built for the glory of God became known as what? Solomon's Temple. It became known as Solomon's Temple, didn't it? He forgot that thine is the glory. And he took all the glory to himself. And God sends him a message. And towards the end of his life, he sends him a message and tells him, hey, I've got a problem. I'm not happy with you. I'm angry with you. And that I'm going to take away the kingdom from your son, is what he told him. In Chronicles 12, it says this, and this is talking about his son, Rehoboam. Rehoboam. How do I say that, Larry? Rehoboam. Rehoboam. Thank you. Rehoboam. So it says, but when Rehoboam was firmly established and strong, he abandoned the law of the Lord, and all Israel followed him in his sin. He was the leader. They followed him. It's interesting to note that the Bible mentions his mother, and his mother was an Ammonite, and it mentions her name three times. And I wondered, why does the Bible mention her name three times? And Ellen White, she makes a comment. She suggests that his mother did not have a good influence on his life. And so mothers play a major role in our children, don't they? Even more so sometimes than dads. And if you take a look in 2 Chronicles 12, it says this, Rehoboam's mother was Naamah, a woman from Ammon, but he was an evil king, for he did not seek the Lord with all his heart. Both Solomon and Rehoboam, with their negative influence and bad example, led many people astray. And it's the same for us today. Sometimes we don't think that we influence people. I have to admit, it wasn't till more recently, and I'm a lot older than most of you, that I realized that what I say and do has a significant impact on other people. And I have to admit, I didn't always realize that. I can remember a fellow by the name of Pastor Mike Stevenson. Some of you know him. And he taught me that lesson one day. And he said, Mike, what you say makes a difference. What you say matters. And that has stuck with me. We were having a serious talk at that point in time. And what we do and what we say has an influence on people. Let me read to you what it says in Prophet and Kings. It says, no man liveth unto himself. No one lives to himself. None perish alone in their iniquity. In other words, we don't sin alone. It says, every life is a light that either brightens and cheers the pathway of others. That's painting the positive portrait of Jesus. or it's a dark and desolating influence that tends to despair and ruin. So we have a choice. Are we going to lead people up, or are we going to lead them down? And she goes on to say, we lead others either upward to happiness and immortal life, or downward to sorrow and eternal death. Very stark, isn't it? Has God shown you what your life is apart from grace? Have you seen your life, what it looks like apart from grace? I can remember when I saw that guy shouting and screaming, I was, thinking to myself, that's not me. But that's this next story. So I was heading to, where was it going? I was going to get gas. I was going to buy some gas, and I pulled in front of Almazar, and you come around the corner there, and you're waiting to go around the corner past the electrical company. You know where that spot is? And there was a car in front of me, and I was just behind, the little barrier. And I thought nobody could squeeze in there. Think again. Somebody stuck their nose right there in front of me. And you have no choice. That's all you need in Lebanon, right? You just need to get the nose of the car in front, and you've got it, right? And so he got there in front of me, and I was half asleep. It was like 6:30 in the morning. And I woke up with a start. I didn't even have to think. I just reacted. What do you think I did? Yes. Was it a long horn blow or a short one? Long. They all mean different things, don't they? This was the long one, and this was longer than any long horn you've ever heard. I mean, I did it the whole time while we were waiting to turn, then I followed him right on his bumper, and I had that horn all the way down. Yes, and I have to admit, I was thinking the same thing. And I, all of a sudden, I became that person who was shouting and screaming, right? I wasn't acting. I wasn't painting the portrait of Jesus at that moment. Has that happened to you? Has that happened to you this week? Well, there's some hope. So let me give you some hopeful texts. Isaiah 57. Verse 15, it says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this, I live in the high and holy place. And who does he live with? It says, with those spirits who are contrite and humble. Contrite and humble. And we just looked at an amazing lesson today, didn't we? Did David blow it? Big time. But why was he a man after God's own heart? Because he was contrite and humble, right? And then it goes on and it says, I restore the crushed spirit of the humble, and I revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. When we mess up and humble ourselves, God revives us and gives us a courage again, doesn't he? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, I passed on to you what was most important. What was most important? What has been passed on is that Christ died for our sins. And so that's the biggest gift that God has given us, isn't it? He's died for our sins. He's died for those times that we messed up. The key is recognizing on whose canvas are we painting? Are we painting on sin's canvas, the devil's canvas, or God's canvas? Are we painting a picture of God, or good, or evil? And one of my favorite passages of the Bible, and Dwight Nelson says that we should read this every single day. What passage of scripture would that be? 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Every day we should read that. What do we call that, Larry? The love chapter. It's a love chapter, isn't it? Let me read just part of it, because when we're talking about painting the portrait of Jesus and you want to remind yourself what that looks like, here's what it looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way, as I was doing when I was trying to get that guy, let him know I wasn't happy with him. It is not irritable. Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? The last few weeks, the humidity. Has anybody been irritable? And then it goes on, it says, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Do we need that here today in Lebanon? Amen, yes. And then three things last. What are those three things that last? Amen. And the greatest of these is?
Love,
yes. You know, are we painting the world with love? Are we spreading the sin virus? Which are we doing? By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you do what? Love one another. You know, that's the acid test, as we call it. That's the acid test of whether you're a disciple of Jesus. And it's good that we're all here on Sabbath today, but that is not the acid test. It's good that we believe that Jesus is coming again, but that's not the acid test either. These are the words of Jesus. You can't argue with him, can you? It says that's how we're going to know who you're following, whether you love one another. And that sometimes isn't so easy, is it? I think we all have a challenge with that at times, don't we? There are, and it's talking about people within our Christian community. It's not talking about people out there. It's talking about us. The ones that are sitting here and those that aren't with us today. That's what it's talking about. That's the acid test of whether we're really a disciple of Jesus. Do we love one another? Have I been kind to the canvas of God's portrait in my life? Have I been kind to that canvas? May God help us to be. Let me read a couple more texts for you. Hosea chapter 10 says, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Isn't that beautiful? Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, the hard ground that sometimes doesn't like somebody else. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. May we give our hearts to God, and he will help us to paint the world with love, won't he? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what are they going to do? Glorify your Father in heaven. You know, last Sabbath, I was sitting right about over there, and I saw Naji Khalil and his family standing there at the back. Do you remember? About five of them. And they were standing there for quite a while. And I was thinking, you know, somebody ought to get some chairs for them. I wonder if they know where the chairs are. And so the chairs were way up there. And then all of a sudden I looked up and there was Mata. Did I say it right? Mata. There was Mata. And he was carrying about six chairs along that sidewalk, all the way back to those five people standing at the end. And I was thinking, that's what a servant of Jesus looks like. That's what it looks like to be painting a portrait of Jesus. And I was thinking about his mother and his father, Feli and Niasha. Do you think they were proud of what he was doing? Absolutely they were. Just like our Father is proud of us when we do things like that. Our Father in heaven. John the Baptist. I love the way the message describes John the Baptist in John 5:35. It says, John was a torch, blazing and bright. John was a torch, blazing and bright. And that's what it's talking about when it says, don't put a bushel over your light, shine like on the top of a hill. It's talking about somebody who's blazing, bright. And that's what he wants each of us to be. How do we do it? How do we do it? Because instinctively, when something bad happens, we often respond not so well. It doesn't happen naturally, does it? Ezekiel 36 says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I've discovered that, you know, I need that transplant sometimes a few times a day. It's not something that just happens once and then everything's good. I need to pray that prayer often. How about you? And then Romans 8 says this, verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And that's the secret. Spirit of God living in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Sometimes we think we're alive, but we're just walking dead men. Just walking dead men. If the Spirit of God is not in us, that's what we are. I want to read you just that same passage from the Message, paraphrase. But if God Himself has taken up residence in your life, I like that. He's taken up residence in your life. You who welcome Him, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, we still experience those limitations of sin. But when God lives and breathes in you, you are delivered from the dead life. And with His Spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ's. Can you say amen to that? Jesus was speaking directly to His disciples right after His resurrection, right after He saw Mary. And He appeared right in the room there with the disciples. And He says this to them, "Peace be with you." And He's saying that not just to them, He's saying that to us today too. "Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." But this is the part I really like. Then He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He's saying the same thing to you and to me today. Receive the Holy Spirit. And if we're willing, He's going to breathe that Holy Spirit onto us, isn't He? Into us. One more image. I'm getting close to being finished. Can you handle one more image? Okay, let's try one more. Mary washing Jesus' feet. Isn't that a beautiful image? Can you picture that in your mind? She's taking her long hair after she puts the perfume on His feet and washes the feet. Then she dries it with her long hair. And how did the disciples react? Negatively, badly. And you know, I hate to mention this. This isn't good. This is not a good sermon for a treasure. But how was Judas's reaction? They could have saved the money, right? That's expensive stuff. We shouldn't have wasted it on them. But how was Jesus' response? Yes, yes. She was anointing Him, but He said that this story would be told throughout history whenever the gospel is preached, right? Powerful story. Now, do you think, I think obviously, why did she do it? She was thankful because Christ had forgiven her and she had had many sins. But do you think she had it all planned out in her mind? Do you think this was all a result of her own planning? If you go to the book Desire of Ages, it suggests that it was the Holy Spirit. She really didn't know why she was doing it, but she was acted, and this is what the Desire of Ages says, she acted as she was led by the Holy Spirit. So that's a pretty amazing thing. And it happened because she was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why it happened. In a few minutes, we're going to close here with Jean-Jacques singing and Melanie playing "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," a beautiful song. And this is the Steve Green version, if you've heard it. I like it. It has a nice melody. And Mr. Watson summarized the song this way. He suggested that the breath of God brings new life, love, purity, obedience, surrender, inspiration, and then finally, eternal life. Seven things. Perfect number. In Genesis chapter 2, when it all started, in Genesis chapter 2, it says that the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground, and what did He do? He breathed. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostril, and the man became a living being. Does that become more powerful text to you now when you look at it in retrospect of what I've just shared? It's powerful text, isn't it? That is the secret. It's God breathing His Holy Spirit into us. Can God can do it again. He can breathe on you and he can breathe on me. The breath of God, the Holy Spirit can fill you with life anew. I want you, if you're willing to close your eyes, just close your eyes and with your heavenly imagination, just close your eyes. Go ahead, be brave. Everybody's doing it. Close your eyes and with your heavenly imagination, picture God breathing his Holy Spirit into you. And I'm going to read you just the words of the song. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure, until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breathe on me, breath of God, till I'm wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine, just like John the Baptist. Breathe on me, breath of God, so shall I constant be and live with thee the perfect life of thine eternity.